It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Short drop, quick throw, good move. And despite hanging onto the shirt into the end zone goes Alan Lazard. Rodgers the fake, the throw, caught, staying inbounds, yes, touchdown. Wilson.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody, happy Friday. Jeremy and Joe with you. 4 hours to talk about Aaron Rodgers, Shohei Ohtani.
Those two.
Yeah, I mean, yes, they were the stories of
sports last night.
Bills, Jags,
yep.
All good stuff. The NFL and Mel Kiper setting the NFL on its ear yesterday by suggesting two high safeties be outlawed.
Yeah. Yes.
I think everybody took that a little too seriously.
Yeah, Lewis Riddick was very mad about it.
I mean,
very mad about it.
A guy on television said a thing. It shouldn't have tripped everyone as much as it seemed to.
Yeah. Quick media thought. Didn't Mel Kiper just do a lot for himself on ESPN yesterday?
Yes.
ESPN wants their talking heads, probably the ones that are talking in the morning, to fire everybody up to create content for the rest of the day. And Mel Kiper exists on ESPN for like 3 months of the year. And did he just earn himself some more speaking time during the NFL season? I think he probably did. He fired up the whole sports media landscape yesterday.
Yeah, there's a lot of reaction to...
Yeah.
The idea that he'd ban two high safeties, which, again, like, it's
like
not...
He'll be on First Take this morning, I bet.
It's not a rules proposal. It's not... No.
It kind of is. It's the idea of a rules proposal,
sure,
right?
Whatever.
He wants someone else to come up with the idea.
He could have said, let's go to 9 defenders.
Yeah. And, well, I said that. I said 10 yesterday,
yeah,
so...
Right. Anyway.
He could have done worse.
Sure.
It wasn't that obscene, I don't think, what he said.
No, I think a lot of the reaction was just... It was wild. It was treated like it was... A rules proposal. They're coming for football.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They're coming for football.
Like
a lot
of that stuff. It reminded me of a lot of the freak out when the hip drop tackle is banned and people will call and say, well, they might as well play flag football. Like, no, it's fine. Everything's going to be fine. There's not a major change happening. It's just a small thing.
Yeah.
And for Kiper, the defense instead of that was, it's going to be fine. They're not actually making a change.
Right.
So we can dig into a lot of that. We talked about it with Sal yesterday, the idea of explosive plays being down and all that. I wouldn't mind starting with Ohtani, though, and a little bit of baseball, just because 50-50, right? It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's never happened before.
Yeah. And listening on the way in, they're talking about 50-50. He's the first one there. Jose Canseco was the 40-40 guy, and that's when I was a kid. I grew up with baseball.
Canseco
was a big star. The 40-40 club. I can remember one of my friends when I was young talking about the 40-40 club. Like, what is that? Home runs and stolen bases. It's a bit of an odd juxtaposition, I guess you'd say, because you kind of pick two stats where it's hard to get to 50. Hard to get 50 home runs, and not a lot of guys get 50 stolen bases, especially if you were a guy that hit home runs, you probably didn't run fast, I guess, back then.
Okay.
That might be a part of it.
Like Ricky Henderson would have had over 100 stolen bases.
Oh, yeah.
But did he hit home runs? Not this many, obviously.
Sometimes, yeah. It is a little bit, to me, it strikes me sometimes as a bit of a just thrown together stat. But either way, like Ohtani, what he did yesterday, he was also 6-for-6 with 10 runs batted in.
6-for-6, 3 home runs, 2 doubles, a single, 10 runs batted in, 4 runs scored, 2 stolen bases all in the same night. And they won 20-4.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I mean, it's got to be one of the greatest batting nights ever without the 50-for-50, isn't it? 50 home runs and 10 RBIs.
It's pretty good.
In one night. For someone who, when healthy, is also a dominant pitcher, by the way. He's the confirmation, by the way, that I will just never be like night-to-night watching baseball. Because he exists. And he is like... He is unique, but also isn't he the exact star baseball would be looking for? All like for 10 years, for 20 years, for however long. And he got his attention yesterday. I mean, we're leading with it on a night where there was a football game between two teams in the same division as the Bills, because what Ohtani did was absolutely historic last night.
Yeah. It's funny you say, like, why you won't watch baseball nightly. The thought I had on this was, I wonder how many other men, women have the experience with baseball and the timeline with baseball that I have had, where football has taken over my life.
Yeah.
And we've got hockey in town, too, of course, but I'm looking at the World Series ratings by year.
Okay.
And that's millions of people watching and the rating and the share. And back in the 80s, 42 million people watched the World Series.
Okay.
1980, it's 42 million. In 1991, that's what I'm watching. The 89 earthquake is 24 million. 1991 is 35 million people. You know how many people watched last year's World Series?
10 million.
9 million.
9 million?
9 million people.
It's like a fourth of what it would have been like 50 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I
think there are more people in the country than there were 50 years ago, by the way.
And I was thinking about it a little bit in context with yesterday's conversation about football, because I'm ready to get into a big, big conversation about the NFL and how offense is king and should be king. That's kind of tied into the Mel Kiper point. But with baseball, I don't exactly know if there's any one thing that happened, if it's that football took over everyone's lives.
Yeah.
But I had the thought yesterday when I saw what Ohtani did, my thought was, I kind of miss baseball. I miss loving baseball. I grew up loving it more than anything else. Every night I watched baseball as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's because you have that relationship with baseball when you're a kid. It's one of the first sports you can play. So you play it, it's on TV, you're playing T-ball, the guys are playing on TV, whatever it is. Like, I absolutely had my life revolve around baseball. I went to the television in my room so I could watch Braves games every night because the Braves were on TV.
Yeah.
And, I'm 45, so in 30 years, baseball went from the most important sport to me to watching a guy like Ohtani go 50-50 and think like, oh, yeah. I remember caring unbelievably about that sport.
Would you have cared about Canseco going 40-40 when it happened?
Yeah.
That's in the 90s?
Sure. I mean, that's an Oakland A's team that's their exciting. McGuire and Canseco are the Bash brothers. And baseball at that time was cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know what...
Maybe it is just football.
Might be just football.
Football took over. And it's the whole fall, and
it's not just Sundays now; it's Mondays and Thursdays.
That's right. Right, it's 3 days a week at least. Sometimes it's four. Right, they play on Saturdays later in the year too, and they played on a Friday. Then week one. So that's got to be it. I mean, the style's different too, right? Like, it's a lot of strikeouts now, but that's more recent, isn't it? Like, 10 years ago, it wasn't all strikeouts and home runs like it became in the last couple of years. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, baseball was always kind of there for me, but it was never like that, like what you're talking about, where it was every day I'm thinking about it. Like, yeah. I would get into it once in a while. When the Blue Jays were good that one time and they were fighting the Rangers or whatever, like, that was cool. I was into that.
Yep.
When the Red Sox were going to the World Series, like, in 04, I was into it. That's like it, though, like, to where every day, like, oh man, what time's Yankees Red Sox tonight, what time's game six? That series in that playoff run would have been the peak for me, but that's kind of it. But that's history, right? Like, which is why, like, I am a bit interested in what Ohtani's done and his existence in general, just because it feels like he shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
So he is the one thing that is drawing me there more than anything. It's just his presence. I wish he didn't play on the West Coast because of it.
That might be a part of this. Like, Mike Trout had this for a long time, right? Where the best player in the sport is out there and he's on a losing team.
Right.
So you don't really see him.
I don't think he's ever won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Or so maybe he's played in four playoff games, something like that.
It's in the context of yesterday. Like, the number of times I heard about football, and just, again, like, tying these two conversations together a little bit. Well, football's king, and the rating, nothing's going to ever knock football off. If defense starts to dominate and take away explosive plays from offense, that's just the evolution of the sport. And my thought on that is that football will treat the offense like the main character, and football should treat offense like the main character. We got a little into it yesterday. So Mel Kiper wants safety's gone because the explosive plays are gone and these passing numbers are down and running the football is back and blah, 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 all this stuff. And it feels like we always have a war in town about running the football because Josh Allen's a quarterback and a lot of people want him to pass it all the time. But watching the sport, if it were to drift, and let's hypothetically, let me just throw a hypothetical at you. It might be crazy, but I'll do it.
Okay.
For three straight years, the NFL gets half the amount of touchdowns they had the previous 3 years. Half.
Okay, yeah.
Is that okay?
No.
No, it's not okay.
Not okay at all.
Right, it's not okay. Well, that's just the evolution of the sport. Like, that's not okay. The NFL, I don't think, wants to go back there. And you get a lot of, well, it's cyclical. This league is cyclical. And I don't agree with that either. They do not want to go back to the Terry Bradshaw days of football. They don't want to go back to the Joe Namath days of football or style of football. They don't want to go back to the 80s. They want to keep always moving forward. And the fact that all these rule changes have happened for decades and decades to push the passing game is not a coincidence. It is what drives the sport. And I don't know how many people are in denial about that or how many don't realize how they maybe unconsciously do it. There's a game on tonight. It's the two best offenses in football. You want to watch it.
Yep. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah. What's the worst Super Bowl you can remember in the last few years? What's the worst one?
Patriots-Rams.
13-3?
Yeah.
Wasn't that just great defense, right? Yeah. Like, people don't love it. You could watch two great defenses play, and you don't love that game the way... What's the best game played in the last 10 years?
The best game?
Best game.
I mean, the first game that came to mind was Rams-Chiefs.
Okay.
Wasn't that 50-40 or something?
13 seconds?
13 seconds.
How are the defensive plays in that game? You know, like...
Right.
Defense has to, of course, exist.
Yeah.
But... You know, tying these together, the idea that the NFL will just sit here and watch. Now I sound like Mel Kiper. I don't think there's going to be a change. I'm not sure there needs to be a change. But the conversation itself, I do find a lot more interesting than just Mel Kiper saying they need to outlaw safeties. Because if scoring came down, then the league probably would work to get it back up.
Yeah, if it happened over the course of an entire season or if it happened over the course of multiple seasons, like they wouldn't sit on their hands. When the NHL had the neutral zone trap, didn't they basically sit on their hands for 5, 6, 7 years?
And didn't it
until
kill
the lockout
the game?
And it kind of killed the game? Right. I don't think
And they
the
came
NFL,
back and they changed the rules.
Yeah. I don't think the NFL would ever do that, but, you know, like I heard a take yesterday, I'm trying to remember who, but like they'll call more penalties. They're just going to start calling more penalties and bring offense back. I don't really know what you're calling, and that's kind of, is that artificial? Like that is, hey, I might call an extra pass interference call here and there, and they're then moving down the field, I'm getting more touchdowns, but is that really what you're looking for? Like scoring is exciting. Big plays are also exciting.
Yeah.
Like that is, people want to see giant bombs going over the top. If teams get masterful at these 10 to 15 play drives and marching down the field and going and scoring, like that will be better than if you get 9-3 Steelers and Broncos. But it's still not perfect. Like it's still not for watchability purposes. You want to think on any given play when you can't see what's happening down the field, oh, Allen might throw it 50 yards here, right? So you have the big arm quarterback. It's why Mahomes and Allen and Jackson and Herbert and all these guys are fan favorites around the league. Not just because they're good, but you think any moment they could score a touchdown here. And the league feels like right now it's not any given moment you could score a touchdown here. It's going to take you 12 plays. That's fine. I don't know how you adjust to that. I don't know how a team adjusts to that. But that being said, when you're in the moment, you're not going to know how, because then coaches would be doing it. 3 years ago, we probably would have asked, man, how are defenses going to adjust to all of these quarterbacks that could just make every throw on the field? And they eventually did.
Yeah.
Because we're looking at it right now. There probably is an internal adjustment that isn't creating new rules to figure it out. I just don't know what it is.
Well, that's where, and we'll talk about this with Kevin Cole coming up at 8:15 today. He had a lot to say about this, and it was more on the chess match theory that we can dig into. We did it with Sal yesterday. The chess match theory as well, and you hear this a lot from a lot of football coaches. I saw Joel Klatt say this. I saw actual college coaches saying this, that, you know, hey, you don't like the conservative shell coverage, cover two, whatever it is. There's more cover three, cover four than cover two. I saw numbers on that, too. All that stuff is like getting in the weeds for me. The point is that defenses, what have they done? They've decided that you running the ball is fine.
Yeah.
That's why running is back, because you running the ball is fine. And a lot of these coaches point out, if you want to get those teams out of these defenses, you run the ball. And a great example is the Bills. I love the Bills' role in this conversation, because this idea about defense that just limits explosive plays and wants you to run the ball and tries to make the stops and makes you go 12 plays, Buffalo Bills fans, you've been watching it for 8 years. That's what your team does. They do it better than anybody in the last 8 years. They don't send cover zero blitzes all that often. They did against Denver last year, right? That was a bad idea. They don't do that. They have been the split safety guys forever. And now a lot of teams are running that style. And what happens when teams run it against the Bills? Okay.
Yeah.
We don't care. We can think of a couple examples. There's the Hurricane game, right, where they bring a third linebacker on the field, maybe.
Sure.
There's,
but how many points did they even give them that game? 14?
14 on one big long touchdown.
Yeah.
And a couple of field goals. Not even a second touchdown, because the Patriots went for two.
Yep.
There's the Raven game. Sal mentioned that, like, against Baltimore. Maybe they brought a third linebacker on the field. Taron Johnson came off the field in the playoff game against Baltimore. Then he came on and had a pick six, by the way. Pretty big one. So, like, I think about this in terms of, well, just run it to get these teams out of this look. So you can't run the Bills out of that look. You don't do it.
They run the most nickel in the league in the last 7 years. Like, nobody will decide to put that third linebacker on the field less than this football team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it three times, four times in 60 games, 70 games?
And why is that?
Decided?
Why is that? Isn't that because they think, sure, fine, run it.
Yeah.
Just go ahead.
If you
run the ball, we will beat you. You will have a holding penalty. You'll have somebody trip. You'll miss one block, and now it's 3rd and 10, and now my defense is ready to lock in and get after the passer. We'll rotate defensive ends. We'll rotate defensive tackles. We'll have fresh bodies up front. Like, the Bills, there was a little bit of Sean McDermott has the perfect defense for all of this conversation that's happening right now. And my reaction was, he has had that defense.
Yeah. If anything, the league has caught up, which is not a... Like, it's impressive on the Bills' part that they've been here for 6 years, but it wasn't more of an advantage than it is now, because I think the trend of the league is telling you the thing the Bills used to have figured out, everyone now is a little better at.
Yeah, I think that's right. Without trying to say it's bad for the Bills, it's just that you had an edge. You had a smart approach and a couple, you know, copycat league. This is why they say copycat league. And a lot of teams decided, like, oh, yeah, you know what? That is kind of smart. Think of the Bills and their three safety looks. Like, they didn't invent that. Somebody else started to play that.
Right.
And three safety looks has been something they've done a lot of. Last year when Jordan Poyer is playing down, whatever, as like a linebacker. It's dime coverage. One of your safeties is a linebacker.
I looked up yesterday how many plays under McDermott have the Bills given up of 50-plus yards. And in that stretch, it's 13 is all. And the next...
That's in 8 years?
That's in 8 years, and it's 13 plays of 50-plus yards. The next closest team, second best, is 19. The Bills are more than 30% better at giving up those. Those are massive half the field plays.
Yeah.
They're more than 30% better than the second best team. And they're not going to be 30% better than the second best team, I think, this season.
Did you have who's worse than that? What team's given up the most? I just wonder how far the separation is from the best.
I remember the number. I think it was 42.
Okay.
So it was like triple.
Three times as many.
It was three times as many.
Yeah.
Were the teams at the bottom. Yeah.
And so those are not 50-yard touchdowns, just 50-yard plays.
50-yard plays. Yeah.
I wonder, can you plug that in and do like 20-yard pass plays?
Sure.
Because
I think that's the definition of explosive.
An explosive
pass
play? Some put it at 15. Some go 10-yard run and 20-yard pass, which, by the way, is another point here, right?
I think typically what I've seen, though, the most is that explosive plays are 15-plus-yard runs and 20-plus-yard passes.
Okay. How funny is it, though, that a run we give a different number to?
Yeah, I know.
That's part of the lie right there. That's why teams would say, like, go ahead and run it. An explosive in the run game is not as damaging as an explosive in the pass game.
Right.
Crazy.
Right there inherently
it's
in that
right
definition.
There. Yeah. It's right there built into how we talk about run versus pass. So I love the conversation that's been happening. It is kind of funny. I do think a lot of people went too far. I probably did too, whatever. But it gets to one of the root issues that I really do like, which is a sports role in giving you an entertainment product, because that's what it is. And we also have a great example right in front of our faces every game right now. The NFL just flat out tore up their kickoff and put a new one in. No testing period. Just, yeah, okay, we're going to do that one. We need a new kickoff because the product is boring. And for a lot of football fans, they might have said, like, yeah, kickoffs are kind of boring, but who cares? And the NFL, not good enough. They did it with the point after. Oh, the kick, the extra point's too easy. Let's make it 38 yards. Why? Well, we want to add something to it. Needs to be exciting. Needs to be relevant to the game as opposed to just, you know, an automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Those two changes should tell you everything you need. Everything you need to know. It's a fun conversation. We'll talk about it with Kevin Cole at 8:15 this morning. Chris Brown, he'll have the call of the game Monday night. He'll join us at 8:30. We've got the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy, of course. It is a football Friday. It's another day where the Bills don't play on a Sunday, but we're still going to find our way through.
Another Sunday without the Bills.
Yeah.
Which I'm usually okay with.
Listen, it's a good Sunday.
Give me the
Sunday.
1 o'clock slate on its own.
It's a good Sunday to be without the Bills. There are good games to watch. I think it's better than last week, at least going in. We'll get you those during the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. Houston and Minnesota's a pair of 2-0 teams. Chargers and Steelers, a pair of 2-0 teams that meet. Good stuff. Happy Friday. It's another beautiful day. We might get a little bit of rain this weekend, but, you know, not exactly washouts. So, hey.
I think I'm going to the beach tomorrow.
Oh, look at that.
In late September.
You're going to the beach. You're going to the beach, and I think I'm going apple picking. I think that's happening tomorrow.
Have those
two
activities
farthest things from each other?
Have those two activities ever been done on the same day?
And what's tomorrow's date? September 21st.
The 21st.
Come on, listen. We do start September 1st, but even those that are dragging their feet on September 21st, I'm going apple picking and you're going to the beach.
Yeah,
talk about the elite season. Let's go. 803-0550 to jump in if you want. A thought on the explosive play stuff. The Bills play the Jags on Monday, and they are number one in explosive play rate. They're going to meet this McDermott defense that shuts teams down in that department. So, good stuff. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us on WGR.